As soon as I can find them. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. Pastor JR, listen, I want to tell you that. I want to tell you. This man's got preach all over him, all in him, all through him, and everywhere else. It's amazing. We're so blessed to have him as a pastor in this church. Please give a warm, warm welcome to JR Rico.
Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God is good. Amen. You know, when I look out at each and everybody in this church, you know, and I've been praying a lot and just asking the Lord just to, what is it he wants me to speak of. And we've been doing a message on the light. And when I look into this room, I see a house full of lights in this room. And I see, and the Lord wanted me to tell you that everyone in this room is a warrior. And everyone in this room is courageous. And everyone in this room fights that good fight. You know, and if you could see some of us in the spirit, I know that some of us come running up them steps, but I know that there's some of us that come crawling up them steps. But you know what the Bible says? Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due time you will reap a reward. And you know what? And I know that because this season, you know, this year has opened up for us. And in the beginning of the year, man, we're just believing God. We fasted and we prayed and we're just believing God for a mighty move in the spirit and God to move this year and stuff. But I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to be straight out truthful, man. This year, this first 3 months of this year has been tough. And I don't know if any of you have experienced that, ever gone through some things this year, but you know, for the first 3 months of this year, it has been tough. You know, but the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver us out of all of them. So that's why I see a room here full of warriors, because the song that we sing, it says, through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with my soul. You know, and it's amazing because God just, he keeps pushing us through, and even when I can't push through, and he pulls me through. You know, God is so amazing in the things he does, you know. So I want to talk a little bit about the light today and what the light is and the purpose of the light in our life, because I know what it's done for me. So the title of this message I put is going to be Wait for It. Because you know what? God's promises in our life and his purpose and his plan in our life, he's got that purpose and he's got that plan for us in our life. Okay? And you know what? There's nothing that's going to detour us from that plan. Whether we slow down or whether we take a step backwards or whatever it is, the Bible says, because God's got us in the palm of his hand, he says nothing is going to pluck you out of the palm of his hand. See, we are God's people, and he's got a purpose and a plan for us. The scripture says that while we were yet sinners, that God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That word commended, you know what it means? Entrusted. He's entrusted his love towards us. And I'm like, Lord, you love me so much, you entrust your love towards me. I'm like, Lord, but I'm just a broken man. How can you entrust your love towards me? But the Bible says, you know what? That we contain treasure in an earthly vessel. See, in God's eyes, he sees us, he sees greatness, and he sees warriors in our eyes, and he sees future in our eyes. The scripture says the plans and the thoughts I have for you are for your future. It doesn't matter what we see in ourselves. It doesn't matter how I feel at the time. It doesn't matter what's going on, the circumstances. I know that God is going to take me through, and he's got a great plan for my future. Amen. And the Bible says, you know what? That he is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. You know, when I think about all the things that God does, you know, for all of us and what he's entrusted us with, and he sent the son to die for us. And he says, because he sent the son to die for us, he says, how much more will he not freely give you all things? See, God has made a way for us, church. He saved us, and he sent us on our way. He says, now I'm going to give you everything you need. The scripture, my first scripture is in 1 Peter. It says, as this divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by his glory and virtue, by which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be a partaker of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through desires. See, by his divine power, church, he's given us these things. You know what? Because God has called us and he's empowered us and we belong to him, he's going to give us everything to hold on to us. He's chose us. Whether I feel like it or not, or whether you feel like it or not, God says, you know what? I'm going to do whatever it takes to hold on to my people. And his divine power has given me all the things that needs to pertain to this life. See, we live in this life and we live in this world. But you know what? The Bible says we're not of this world. So how do we survive the things of this world? He says, I'm going to give you all the things that pertain to life and godliness. Godliness means to have a God mindset. See, the Bible says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In order for us to live in this world and not get caught up in this world, it got to be transformed. I got to start thinking the way God thinks. I got to have a God mindset. It says, but how do you get that? Through the knowledge of him who has called us by his power and virtue. He says, he's given us great and exceedingly great and precious promises so that we can be partakers of his divine nature. Did you know that in the very beginning, God created us in his image and his likeness? It's in there, guys. It's inside of each and every one of you. It's down inside of us. That's the treasure that God has given us inside of us. And the light brings out the best in us. See, the scripture says that our lives, everything that God wants me to be, when I wasn't serving the Lord, I was just what the world wanted me to be. And I just did all the stuff the world wanted me to be. But now that I'm partakers of his divine nature, God has held on to us. And the Bible says, you know what? Who we are now, who the man that I am now, the Bible says that our life was hidden in Christ Jesus. Think about that. Who we are right now, my life was always hidden in Christ. And because I surrendered to the Lord and I submitted to Jesus Christ, and then the light, which is Jesus Christ, brings out the best in us. See, my life, what God has created me to be, was hidden in Christ. All of our lives. So when you think about it, I say, man, that old guy that I used to be, that angry old guy, the guy that just didn't disrespect anybody, the guy who used to abuse his wife, the guy that just, I had to have the last word, that man is gone. Now I'm a new creation of Christ. The best in me, the light brought it out. And that was to be created in his image and his likeness. Now that light has brought me out to be a good husband, a good father, a better example. Everything that God has wanted me to be is in that light, church. And the light, God shines that light on you. And that light brings out the best in us, each and every one of us. And it's by his divine power that we can be partakers of that. Now he says, I'm going to give you exceedingly great and precious promises. How many of you got promises that you're holding God to? And the plans and the things that we're asking him for. And that's why I said in Tyler's message, wait for it, because you know what? It's coming. We might not see it now, but it's coming, church. See, what the light does is it changes me from the inside out. Changes everything about me. It changes the way I walk, the way that I talk, the way that I perceive things, the way that I look at people. Because you know what? Those things linger sometimes. And I got to stay in the light so those things don't come out. So that old man is dead. And he doesn't come back. You know, and sometimes, you know, when I'm not where I should be, you know what I mean? God wants to do great things. Look at Paul the Apostle. An awesome man of God. And even he said, you know what? I have not even arrived yet at what God has apprehended me for. But the things that I do know is I put those things behind me and I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So what that means is, you know what? I might not be where I should be, but I ain't where I used to be. See, and the light draws all these things out of us, church. It brings out the best in me. See, God's got a plan and a purpose for us, and the light brings those things out. But let me tell you something, too. Another thing about the light, it will also to reveal in us the worst things in us. See, the light will bring it out, and God will put all those things in me. You know, his image and likeness is all those things inside of me. And I praise God that he could use someone like me. You know, the things that he's done for me, I never even imagined. You know, one time, a long, long time ago, and this was so amazing about God, that he's faithful to his promises and he's faithful to his word. 35 years ago, when I first got saved, I was in a church and I needed prayer. And I walked up to the altar, and I was just a baby in the Lord. And I walked up to the altar, and I had my hands raised up, but my eyes closed, and I was just believing that the man of God was just going to pray over me. And he comes up to me, puts his hands on me. He goes, "Brother JR, you're called to preach." And I opened my eye and went, "What you talking about, Pastor?" And I never imagined, church, that I'd be standing up here preaching God's word. And that was 35 years ago. See, but I look at, God is faithful to his word, church. So no matter what it is you guys are waiting for and believing God for, hold on to that promise. And hold on to the things that God has promised you and the things that he's going to change in your life. Because you know what? He's going to do it. He's faithful to perform his word, and he's going to do those things. You see, and so that's what's so amazing is that. But before God does those things and fulfills the things, you know, we want so much from God now that we're saved. And I want so much from God. Lord, I need this. And Lord, give me that. And give me that. And we get that spirit of the gimmies. Give me, Lord, this and give me this. And God says, you know what? It doesn't work like that. It says, I'm not going to give you what you want, but I will give you what you need. See, and it's all in his timing, church. And you know what? We all go through some things and what we're believing God for. And so what God's got to do in this next scripture I want to reveal to you, this had to do with Paul the Apostle. Now, Paul the Apostle was a man of God. He was the man of God. But he was persecuting the Christians because what he thought was right, and he knew the old scriptures, he knew them. Okay, so how many of you know that before God can impart those things in each and every one of us and give us the things that we need best, one thing that the light does do inside of us is it cleans house. It cleans house. This is what he did to Paul the Apostle first, okay? This is what he did first. Paul was on his way to Damascus, he says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone round about him. Hallelujah for the light. Amen. Next scripture, sister. Then he fell to the ground. Basically, he got knocked off his horse. How many of you that God had to knock you off your horse? He did it to me, man. It said he fell off his horse or fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" You know what? In our life, now that we know Jesus, God is trying to take those things out of us. And every time we rebel against God and we're not obedient to the Lord and say, like, Lord, do this for me, Lord, and do that for me. And God says, okay, what are you kicking against? What are you fighting me for? See, because we want God to change things in our lives. And I'll repent, but I won't surrender. See, there's a difference between repentance and surrender. Repentance, I can sit there and say, you know, Father, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I got myself in a jam. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But you know what? And the Bible says, you know what? You praise him with your lips, but your hearts are far from him. See, God doesn't just want repentance. He wants surrender. That's what he wants. He wants us to surrender it all. He says, man, I want all of you or none of you. I want it all. See? And this is the thing. So God's got to go in there and clean some house. And I'll tell you why, because this is the plan that he has for us. Next scripture, sister. And he said, he was saying this to Ananias. It says, pardon? Oh, yeah, okay. He said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I went ahead of myself. He said, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. Is it hard for you to kick against the gourds? Next scripture. And we know, we skipped one. We skipped the scripture. Okay, hallelujah. The next scripture says that Ananias went and laid hands on Paul. It says that when he laid hands on him, scales fell off of his eyes. And the scripture says, you know what? This is why I have called you to preach the gospel to. Okay. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel. See, this is why God cleans us out, church. And this is why God wants to do the things in our life. Because for each and every one of us, he says, we are a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. See? So God has got to do a cleansing inside each and every one of you. A couple years ago, I did when I was ministering up here, I was teaching about the plans and the thoughts that God has for us. And so when we're talking about the plans, because God has thoughts for us and he has plans what he's going to do in our life. I think God looks at us and every time he's created each and every one of us and he looks at us and says, okay, this is what I'm going to do and this is what I'm going to do. This is the plan that I have for you. So me, because we do construction, we have a construction company. When we go out to a job, we look at a job and we analyze a job and we put everything on paper and we make a plan. Okay, God has a plan for your life. But when we go to do this plan and we get out to the job, one of the first things we do on the job is demolition. That's the first thing we do. We got to go in there and we got to break up some stuff. We got to break up some foul ground. We got to tear everything up and we got to start brand new and we got to remove all the junk that's in there. See, it's the same with us. And why God is trying to do this stuff, because you know what? With Paul, in order for him to use Paul, how many of you know that you can't put new wine in an old wineskin? See, God's got to clean us out, and that's what the light does. It reveals these things. It cleans us out because God wants to do a great and mighty work in our lives. So in order for us to obtain the things that God has for us, he's got to remove all the junk. So the plans that he has for us is to take all that junk out so he can put his spirit on us and lead us and guide us. Amen. So what the light also does for us is it changes, not just change my mind, but it changes our perspective on things. See, in the world, we saw things a certain way. We had a certain perspective over things. And you know what? And we just went along with it. A perspective that we had was for the here and for the now. See, and so we look at our circumstances and we're like, wow, what's going on? What's going on here now? What's happening with me right now? See, but God's perspective on us is, it's a different word. Perspective that we have is here and now. God's perspective is prospective, P-R-O, is for the future, looking at you in the future. See, we look at our circumstances now, and I'm like, why, what's going on now? What's happening with me now? And because God has given us so much, and he's entrusted with us so much, and he wants you to be the person that you are, and he's given you all his promises, and all the things, you know, his word, everything he does, the enemy wants to come and steal that from you. All those things. So we've been talking about what the light does. It brings out the best in us. It encourages us. It pushes us in the direction that we need to go in. And because we're the men and women of God that God has chosen us to be, the enemy will want to come and change our perspective. And that's where the darkness comes in. The darkness comes in to change your mind, church. I hate my notes. See, the first thing that we have to talk about darkness is that it's a lie. It comes from the devil. Just like Jesus is the father and God is the father of light, the devil is the father of darkness. And the first thing that he wants to do to us is lie to us. That's the very first thing. And the Bible says, and check this out, not only does he want to lie to us, but the Bible says he's the father of all lies. That means that everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. And it's all aimed at you. See, so sometimes we go through some stuff, church. And you know what? Back in the day when we were just baby Christians, and one of the things that God is trying to get us to do is there's a scripture that says that he wants to thoroughly furnish us unto all good works, to the perfect man. Okay, but it doesn't mean the perfect man to be perfect, because we can never be perfect. But what the word perfect means is mature. He wants to thoroughly furnish us so that we could be a mature man in God. Okay, so what the darkness does is it lies to you and it tells you that you're not those things. It tries to get us to change our mind of who we are. And the thing is the lies always come to us when we're doing well and we're praising God and the things are going good in our life. You know what? We don't hear too much from him. But how many of you know that when we're going through stuff, that's when he comes and lies to us. When we're waiting on God, we're waiting on his promises. See, because we're waiting on his promises, and the enemy comes, and he lies to us, and he tells you stuff like, you know what, you'll never do that, you'll never accomplish what God has called you for, we're believing God for something, and we don't hear his voice, and he's saying, you know what, God's not listening to you, you've been going through this for a long time, the things that you've been believing God for is never going to happen. Amen, brother, amen. You should see my notes right here. It says to tell the devil, shut up. See, what God has called us for is doesn't change. The next scripture is Romans 8. The next one, sister, Romans 8:28. Hallelujah. Okay, there it is. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Next one, sister. For whom he foreknew, and he's talking about us now, to whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that we may be the firstborn among many brethren. See, God has called us. There's nothing going to change that call. And the enemy's going to come and he's going to lie to you and tell you that none of that is true. Okay? And so when we'll sit there and we wonder why, well, you know what? He wants us to give up. He wants us to give up. But you know what? And he'll tell you, you know what? That God's plan for you and the purpose for your life. He goes, it's not true. It's never going to happen. But now let's go back to the other scripture, 8:18. And we wonder why we go through these things. Listen, it says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. See, we go through some things that we think, man, why is this happening? Why is this happening? God is trying to teach us something, church. He's trying to get us to be mature. He said, look what the scripture says, that the sufferings of this present time. How many of you are going through some things right now? I know that we are, me and my wife, man, we've been battling it out. But he says, you know, but what we're going through right now is nothing to be compared with the victory you're going to have in the end. So what God is trying to do is he's trying to encourage you, saying, you know what, we're going to go through some stuff. We are going to go through some stuff, but we have each other. We can encourage each other. The Bible says to exhorting one another more so as you see the day approaching. Exhortation means to encourage each other, pray for each other, you know, help each other, work with each other so we can all get through these things. This morning, and I'm going to give you an example. This morning, it wasn't even 6 o'clock in the morning and my phone went off, bing, and it was from a brother who needed prayer. They were under attack. And the amazing thing about this is that my phone went off almost immediately. After I got that text, almost immediately I heard bing, 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 bing. The brothers and sisters were already on top of that, praying over that situation and making decrees over that situation and rebuking the enemy over that situation. See, that's who God has called us to be, church. We're not to run from the attacks, and we're not to run from the enemy. We're not to, when the enemy says all the things he wants to say to us, man, we just look at the enemy and say, you know what, shut up. Because we're not going to accept those things. How about when the devil says, well, you know what, God doesn't hear you right now. He says, you know what, maybe you haven't got enough faith. Well, let's talk about some faith right now, church. You know, the apostles, when they were on the boat and they were with Jesus, and Jesus is in the boat with them, and they just come back from doing a fantastic miracle, and they're crossing the water, and the wind blew and the waves came, and Jesus looked at them and said, "Oh, ye of little faith." But let me tell you something about little faith. It's that little faith, church, that took over the world, and that's why we're here right now. It's that little faith that consumed with fire, church. That's that little faith that brought everything, Christianity, what it is right now. It's that little faith, church, that has boosted the church to what it is right now. It's that little faith that's got you and me sitting right here where we're at right now. It's that little faith. So don't let the devil lie to you about not having enough faith. Because the Bible says it takes faith the size of a mustard seed to look at that mountain and say, "Be thou removed," and cast it to the sea. See, church, his job and darkness's job is to discourage us and to tell us that we're not these things. But you know what? God has created us to be all that. All the things that he's created us to be. Every single one of them. Okay, one more scripture, James. It's James 1:17. This is what God has done for us. It says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights." Now there we're talking about the light again. From the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. See, it doesn't matter what the enemy tells you. It doesn't matter the mistakes that you make. It doesn't matter the position that you're in. It doesn't matter the circumstances that you're going through right now. God has chosen you. He's got a purpose and a plan for your life, and there's nothing that anybody can do to change that. There's no variation or shadow of turning. If God has chosen you, he's going to perfect you. And the Bible said that he who started a good works in you will continue to perform it until the day that Jesus comes. So all the things that we go through, church, we got to put aside those lies. And it doesn't matter how you feel. It's how God looks at you and how God sees you. And God's perspective for your life, he's got a future and a plan and a hope for you to prosper you in the future. Those are the things that God has for us, church. And because it's such awesome treasure that we hold, the enemy wants to steal that away from you. But he's a liar and the father of all lies. So just tell me, you know what? Be quiet. I'm not listening to you. Greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. And this is what God has for us, church. Hallelujah. See, the Bible says that we are now children of light. Boy, the enemy would love to steal that from us, okay? But he says, because he's called us to be children of light, he says, walk as children of light. See, we have this message inside of us. We have this hope inside of us. We have this promise inside of us. And you know what? We're going to tell the devil, hey, it doesn't matter what you say. It's what God says about me. Amen. Everything that God has created in me, you know, it's what he says. You know what? And God's not going to change his mind. If I mess up, it doesn't matter. He's not going to change his mind. The Bible says we are hard pressed on every side, but we're not destroyed. We're going to keep on punching through, church, and we're going to keep on moving through no matter what. And you know what? And we're going to go through some trials, and we're going to go through some tribulations, and we're going to go through those things. But you know what? You got to know that God is trying to teach you something. Don't look at it because, you know what? Years ago, and I was going to say this before, years ago, we always, when we were immature, we always just say, oh, the devil's attacking me. And the devil's attacking me. And the devil's doing this. And the devil's doing that. And my father-in-law, Rachel's dad, he was like 80 years old at the time. And the hardest working man that I've ever seen. Not very educated or anything, but he used to sit there and listen to us. And he used to look at him and he'd say, "Don't say that." He goes, "It's not the devil, it's you." And I never forgot that, church. I never forgot that. See, we're quick to sit there and put the blame for something that we did. And now we're going through the consequences that we did, and we're quick to blame it on the devil. Okay, and you know what? And there is consequences. Maybe we're someplace we shouldn't have been. Maybe I said something I shouldn't have said, or the things that we do, and you all know what we do. You know, and we get caught up, and so there is consequences. But when you go through trials and tribulations, church, it's not necessarily the devil. It's God trying to bring out the best in you. He's trying to teach you maturity. He's trying to teach you to be patient. He's trying to teach you to be kind. He's trying to get you to kill that dead man inside you who would rise up and tell you, hey, man, you messed up. God is trying to change our lives. He's trying to transform us and renew our mind. So we need to look at, the Bible says that the suffering that we go through right now, don't sit and say, why am I going through this? Sit and say, you know what? I'm going to come out of this, because at the end, and I might not see it at the end, but I know God's got something great for me then. So when he would tell me to go through some stuff, instead of sitting there and putting out a pity party or saying, woe is me, I'm going to sit there and say, man, what I'm going through right now, and the stronger it might be, the greater the victory is going to get when we get there. And this is what God is trying to do to us. And we need to hold on to the light, because the light is going to keep, you know, the light is a preservative in our life. It preserves us, church. It keeps us right where I want to be. It exposes the things that I need to let go of. And it imparts it into me, man. It gives me that passion and a zeal to do what God wants me to do. It gives me a passion and a zeal to be kind. It gives me a passion and a zeal to go out of the norm and help somebody, something that I wouldn't normally do. And it exposes all the little things inside of me that we kind of hold on to. There was a story that I'm going to tell you. I hope you guys like stories. There was a story about this one lady that she was at church. And she told the pastor at church, she goes, you know what, pastor? She goes, I'm going to leave the church. And pastor looks and goes, well, why? Why are you going to leave the church? She goes, because so-and-so over there are acting like this, and so-and-so over there have been doing this. And those people over there, you know, I don't know about those people over there. And the pastor told her, okay, before you leave, will you do something for me? And the lady said, okay, pastor, what do you want me to do? He goes, here, take this glass of water, and it's filled to the top. He goes, I want you to walk around the church through the sanctuary and back up and all the way back around the other side. And don't spill a drop. Can you do that? And she said, okay, pastor. So she takes it. She's looking at it. And she's walking down the aisle real slow. And she gets to the front and she turns. And she gets to the other side and she turns. And she finally comes all the way back around to where pastor is. And she said, look, pastor. She goes, I didn't spill a drop. She goes, I looked at it, and I didn't spill a drop. And the pastor says, see, that's what you need to do. Focus your eyes on Jesus and not on everything else that's happening in the church. And when we focus our eyes on Jesus, church, God will change our perspective on things. I don't want my perspective. I want God's perspective on my life. And his life says that I was going to prosper me in the future. His life said he's going to take me through those things. The life says he's going to punch us through all the things that we go through, church, to take us to the other side. It's time that we stop looking at ourselves and looking at all our shortcomings, and start looking at what God has created us to be. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. And what he's created in us is an amazing thing. And the thing is, the reason why we need to let our light shine, because there's people out there that are lost. And sooner or later, they're going to get tired of being lost. And sooner or later, they're going to get tired of running into obstacles and bumping their heads over things. And we need to be that light of God, that light that stands on the hill. Amen. I'm going to show you a couple pictures right now. Let me see the picture of that first picture, Danette. This is how God sees us right here, church. Isn't that beautiful? It's nice. We're shining bright. This is how God sees us, as a lighthouse. A lighthouse for Jesus. He's entrusted us with his word. He's entrusted us with the light. He's entrusted us with everything that God has wanted us to be. And why? So that lost ships can find their way. How many of you remember when you were at Lost Ship? You know? So this is what, but I'm looking at this picture, and the whole time I'm speaking to God, and I'm looking, I said, Lord, thank you, Lord, that we are that lighthouse. But how many of you know it's easy to praise God when there ain't no wind? It's easy to praise God when there ain't no waves. It's easy to praise God when you're standing on a hill and it's a beautiful, wonderful day. And like Pastor was saying, all the flowers are blooming and the butterflies are coming. It's easy to praise God when everything is going good in our life, church. But let me tell you what how God sees us. Sure, he sees us as a light. But let me show you what God really sees in each and every one of you. Next picture, sister. Look at that. That we can be a light in the storm, church. That's where we're at. That's what God wants to see us. That's the kind of person I want to be. That can stand up to the storms and the waves and the circumstances and all the things that come in, come forward. That's the kind of person right there, church, that I want in my corner when the battle rages and when the bullets are flying and when things happen and we're waging war. That's the kind of person I want to be, and that's the kind of person I want in my trench. I want a soldier in my trench, not somebody who just got out of boot camp, but somebody who's got some stripes on their shoulders that have been through a few battles. And that's how God sees us, church, because through the wind and the waves, look at you guys, you're still here. And I know it's not here because everything's been good. I know we're here. We've been through some battles, church, and we're here. And that's how God sees us, church, to fight through those battles, church. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something about those battles that rage. You know what? A person that's like that, that's the kind of fruit that I want in my corner. Let's talk about fruit right now for a second. You guys ever been to a furniture store when you're going to buy some furniture? You walk into the showroom and there's a big dining room table there, okay? And on top of that dining room table is a big basket of fruit. And it's shiny. They just waxed it. It's beautiful. It's pretty. It looks so real. And you're looking like, wow, you could almost go up there and take a bite of it. But let me tell you something, church. It's imitation. It's imitation. I want somebody who's got fruit that's got some bruises on it. I want somebody that's got some fruit that's got some lumps and bumps on it. I want somebody who's got some fruit in my corner that's fallen on the floor and gotten back up. I want somebody who's been through the battles and been through the storms in my corner, church. That's who I want fighting with me. See? And you know what? We've been through some stuff, and we've been through a lot of circumstances, and I know we're going through it right now, but you know, we're going to come out greater in the end, church. Because we're warriors, and God sees us as that kind of warrior. You know what? God has a name for a person like that. And I'm going to close right now. God's got a name for a person like that who's been through those things. And I'll tell you why we've been through those things. Sister, let me see the next scripture. This is what God says to you. Matthew. Hallelujah. It's in Matthew, sister. It's Matthew 7, I believe. Matthew 7, 24 and 25. There it is. This is what God says you are, church. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Look at the person sitting next to you and say, you know what? You're a wise man. Who built his house upon a rock. See, you wonder why, church, we're able to go through the things that we've gone through and not quit. Go through the things, the battles, and the waves that we go through and not quit. And you know what? Sometimes I know we might feel like it. Like I said, some people come running up them steps, but I bet you a lot of us came crawling up them steps. And sometimes instead of giving up, you say, you know what, man, I just got to get there. I just got to be there. Some of us worship, man, crying. Some of us got their hands up. But you know what, church? Through it all, like the song says, through it all, my eyes are on you. See, it says, I would liken him as a wise man who built his house upon a rock. That's why we're here today, church. Because we're wise men, and we built our house upon a rock. And that rock is Jesus. One more scripture, and then I'll close. That was Habakkuk. There it is. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Everything that you're asking God for, church, God hears you. It's there. His promises for your life, whether it be your children, your household, a good job, or the calling of God in your life, Whatever it might be, church. It might not be happening now. And the devil might be telling you it's never going to happen. But you know what? You tell him to shut up. Because you know what? Because that we have the vision. The vision is light. And this is future. This is how God sees us. This is God's perspective on your life, which is future. It says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak. And it will not lie. Like the devil will lie to us. It will not lie. So though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Wait for it, church. Everything that you believe in God for right now, church, and everything that the enemy wants to tell you is going to happen, you know what? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. We're believing God for some big things, even in my family. And I know a lot of you this morning maybe came in here broken. And you know what's amazing? There's a lot of you come in here, and you put a smile on your face, and you turn that halo on, bing, when you come walking in. But you know what? If we could see each other in the spirit, we would see just exactly who's broken. And yet, you know what? We still came in those doors, and we're still fighting a good fight. And you know what? And God says, you know, because of that, he says, we can withstand the storms because of that you're a wise man, because you built your house upon the rock. And anybody else that gave up is because they were on sinking sand. See? So I just wanted to encourage you this morning, church, and let you know what? We all go through some things, man. Some are greater than others. Some aren't so great. But you know what? We all stand together like this morning when my phone went off. And all of a sudden you got bing, 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 bing. That's how we need to be, church, standing with one another. This morning I had so many people pray for me this morning and lay their hands on me and just believe God for me. And I thank each and every one of you, man, for the powerful people that you are. You know, the Bible says, in a great house, there are many vessels. Look at this great house, church. It's just vessels for honor. We honor God, church, because we're here. And each and every one of us, God has a purpose and a plan for us. And you know what? And everyone here isn't greater than the next person. We're all of equal value. We're all the same. We need each other. Even from the Bible says, to the least, give the most honor. All of us, each and every one of us, to pray for each one another, because God is doing a great and mighty works here, church. You know that word, prospective, is God's plan for the future. You know what? Another word, it has P-R-O in it, is prophesy. When things don't seem to be going good in your life, and things seem to be pretty dead in your life, and things aren't looking good for you in your life, just like Ezekiel did, the Lord told him, prophesy to those bones. Prophesy to those things in your life, church. Speak life into them. Ask the Lord to breathe life into those situations, church. And God will change those things. And the scripture says that this is the confidence that we have in him. That whatever I ask of him, that he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, he will grant the things that we ask of him. Because we are his children, and he does hear us, church. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Just believe God and his word, and God will give you all the desires of your heart. Amen? Let's pray, church. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father God, we thank you, Father God, that you've entrusted us, Father God, with so much, Father God. You entrust us with your love, Father God, so that we can help others find your love, Father God. We thank you for the light, Father God, who preserves us through it all, Father God, that preserves us, Father God. We thank you for the faith, Father God, even though sometimes it might be weak, Father God, it's still faith that you give us, Father God, to focus our eyes on Jesus, because you're the author and finisher of that faith, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for all that you've done for us. You've given us your Son and everything that goes with us. You say you freely give us. How much more will you freely give us? All things. This is all things. You say, Lord, in your word, that you give us grace, that we abound in grace, Lord, so that we can be sufficient in all those things. While we stand and wait, Father God, we encourage one another, Lord. We help each other, Father God. We see the best in each other, Father God, because you bring out the best in us, Lord Jesus. We thank you this morning, Father God, for your word, Father God, that says that we are the light, a light that stands on top of the mountain, a light that shines and can be seen wherever, Father God. It can't be hidden, Lord. And because we are that light, you say, walk as children of light, Father God. We have the name of Jesus, Father God. We can speak to those things, Father God. We can make changes in our life and in other people's life, Father God. Lord, empower us, Father God, and give us the courage, Lord, to stand as your children of light, Lord, so that those other lost vessels, Father God, will come to the light, Father God. We thank you for that, Father God. With your eyes still closed and your heads bowed, if there's anybody here this morning that has never said yes to the light of Jesus, I want you to say this prayer with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm tired of living in darkness. Let your light shine into my heart. Let your light cleanse me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the light of my life. Change me. Change me from the inside out. I make you my Lord, and I make you my Savior. Thank you, Lord. If you said yes to Jesus this morning, as an act of faith, I want you to raise your hand on the count of three. Just as an act of faith, just to acknowledge that you said yes to Jesus this morning. One, two, three. Raise your hands. Praise God. I see all those hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, church, for allowing me to encourage you this morning. I believe that the Lord wanted us to be encouraged, because I know we might not show it. I know, you know, I've heard some incredible stories. You look at this person and say, wow, you would never see it on him. You know, God is doing some amazing things in all of our lives. You know, and as we walk out this door, church, you know, I want you to put your shoulders back and your head up and let that light so shine so that our Lord will be glorified in it. Amen. I want to ask the prayer team to come up right now. And if you need prayer for anything, if you've just accepted Jesus for the first time, I want you to come up and let these amazing people pray for you and encourage you and speak into your lives. If you need anything, just come on up, and they would be glad to pray over you and just encourage you and strengthen you. Because that's why we're all here today, church, to love one another, strengthen one another, and encourage one another. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Thank you on behalf of me and my wife and Pastor David and Jeannie and Mike and Linda. We just want to say we love you guys. Be encouraged. Remember, you are that light, and let it shine in Jesus' name. Amen.